To the Batmobile. Let's go.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's comic book FNG.
Are we live?
Yeah.
You didn't tell us. You just gave us a countdown.
Yeah.
What do you think the countdown was for?
But is it on one, or is it a hesitation after one?
You
didn't give us a point or a nod or a wink or a click or nothing. You're just like, all right, figure it out, bitch.
That's basically what happened.
Welcome to Comic FNG. I'm John. The one vigorously calling Joan a bitch is Will.
Hello, I'm actually a nice guy.
And we have our producer with us today, John. We call him Joan.
Hello.
Since Jeremy is out of town, so he is standing in for Jeremy as the voice profile.
And also, before we forget, you may or may not hear a womanly voice in the background. That's going to be Chelso. She may have a comment or two, or she may not. You may hear her snoring.
She may just yell at us.
She's taking a nap. But anyway, that's her over there.
So today we're doing just kind of a relaxed episode. While Jeremy is out of town, we're waiting to do part two till he comes back and it's not cursed and we finish writing it. But it's definitely coming. I promise it's coming. We are doing it and working on it. We've recorded it like twice at this point. And every time it just gets messed up.
And twice is just the full attempts at recording. Like, we've had partial attempts.
Yeah.
That number way more than two.
Yeah. Twice full attempts.
Yes.
At recording the episode.
And those still got screwed.
Still gotten corrupted. So yeah. Infinity Gauntlet is cursed right now. So we've got a few things on the docket. In between then, we've got our half episode today. Just kind of relax. We're going to talk a little bit about Arrowverse, the Netflix Marvel Universe, some of the characters we've seen in movies and their different portrayals, like the Green Goblin and the fucking Venom portrayals that we've seen. We'll have an episode on Hellboy coming. We're also going to branch out from Marvel and do some DC. We're going to try and do some Frank Miller's Batman. And I think we're planning an episode on The Killing Joke, if I remember right.
Yep, absolutely.
Yes.
Want to touch on that. Lots of Batmans. We're going to also want to do some Dark Horse, too.
Yeah.
So we want to do some Spawn.
Is Spawn Dark Horse?
You know, I don't think Spawn is Dark Horse. I think their image. Is
image?
It Image?
What
I don't
Image?
Know. I know it's
is Image like
McFarland.
A subsidiary? Yes, the producer is nodding. You can talk, you know.
Yeah, you
have an active part of the episode.
I'm away from the microphone right now.
That's true. He's away from you're just getting echo at that point.
Yeah. I didn't want to capture the sound of me unzipping my jacket.
It is a bit warm in Arizona right now. It's about 70 some odd degrees. We're talking about the weather. Holy
that
shit.
That is not true. Okay, correction, Jumbo. It is not 70 degrees. It is 54. It is cold as balls.
It is not cold.
It is fucking
it's
cold,
not
John.
Cold.
I go outside and I feel like my nipples could cut glass.
Oh, you desert people and your coldness.
It's fucking ridiculous, man. You're out there in a t-shirt. You want to buy fucking shorts.
I do want some shorts.
What is this?
I've worn pants for the last 20 years. I need some shorts.
Okay, buy shorts, but save them until March when it's hot outside like the rest of us.
It is hot outside.
It is not
hot. 60 to 70 degrees is like the perfect day.
Oh, okay, yes. When the high is 70, okay, yeah, when it's hot. But when it's building up to that, when it's 54 degrees outside, I don't give a shit what the high is, John. When the high is 70, okay, yeah, that's beautiful. But the build up to that and then everything after that, is fucking cold.
It's really not that cold. It's not that bad.
Okay.
It can get chilly. I'll give you that. It can get chilly here.
Okay.
I've experienced Arizona chilly.
Okay, what is Arizona chilly to you, John?
Like 45 degrees. That was chilly.
Mm-hmm.
In elongated periods. It's not like warm your car up cold.
Okay, so here in Phoenix, I think the coldest it gets like in cold snaps during wintertime is like... Maybe there'll be a freeze, like it'll be 30 degrees at the very low point right before the sun comes up. But
I've not experienced that at all.
That's like really harsh winter cold, and it's very rare.
Man, I love Phoenix.
And, you know, typically that's like out in the suburbs and shit. It's not like central Phoenix kind of stuff.
You're a Texan.
So.
How cold does it get in Texas during the winter?
It will usually get... consistently down to the 30s, like
oh damn,
for a good like 2 to 3 weeks usually.
I remember in like 2014 when Texas got hit with a bunch of snow. Well, yeah. like 4 inches of snow.
Yeah.
And there were just an inordinate amount of accidents because no one knew what to do in
the
snow.
Yeah, no, the big problem is that it rains a lot in the winter, and sometimes it'll get cold enough for the roads to freeze over, and nobody that lives there knows how to drive in that kind of weather.
In the defense of Texans and their bad driving, no offense to Texas, driving on ice, it really doesn't matter how experienced you are. Mm-hmm. Sooner or later, it just sucks.
Yeah.
You have no control.
I've been fortunate enough to not ever have to drive on ice or in snow. But it sounds absolutely horrifying.
It's not fun. Unless you're trying to have fun. Huh? Like, if your car has an e-brake with a lever, you can go into an abandoned parking lot or something and just, you know, spin cookies all day.
Ooh.
Do some drifting. Snow drifting. It's super fun.
Oh.
When you're trying to do that. And if you're good at it. Because if you're bad at it, you're going to wrap your car around a pole.
That does not sound fun.
I've seen it. It's not great.
You've seen it?
Yeah. Well, you lose control because it depends on how thick the ice is that you hit. But, like, if you hit black ice, you're not regaining control.
Mm. Yeah, that's another thing that I've heard of that horrifies me, black ice.
It's not fun because it's generally the same color as the street, so you can't see it until you hit it. My brother, when he was driving through Wyoming, fucking Wyoming. I hate everything about Wyoming. Every time I've gone there, there's been some sort of blizzard or some bullshit happening. But he was driving through Wyoming, and the roads were mostly clear, but the problem with the trip between like Colorado and Wyoming is it's all an open land. So it's super, super windy. And he hit a patch of black ice like this, like 2 feet long, not very big at all, but it happened right at the perfect moment. A gust of wind hit his truck and it rolled his truck.
Oh fuck. Yeah,
lost control and rolled his truck.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Is he okay?
Oh, he's fine. The truck's not.
I can't imagine. My God, do you know how many times it rolled? Or?
Oh, probably a couple.
God damn.
I'd have to ask him for specifics, but he definitely misses that truck.
Oh, man, that's so
sad. Nice Ranger. Rolled it.
Fuck.
To get back on topic.
Yeah, that was quite the little tangent.
Yeah, we just talked 15 minutes about the weather. Man, nobody wants to hear that, the weather, on a podcast about comic books.
Well, maybe we made it a little bit interesting. I don't know. Anyway.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So what do you want to jump into first?
Characters, man.
Not multiverse. Well, it's kind of a multiverse.
It's
but,
all a multiverse at this point.
The daunting subject of the Arrowverse that we don't know that much about.
So the Arrowverse is a chunky chunk of a chunk of...
It's a chunk.
Of, yeah. Okay. So, and I only know it up until like 2016, 2017, and I completely stopped watching it.
I know some of it because I watched a synopsis video.
Right. Yep. And then that kind of brushed me up. I watched the same one.
Yep.
I think I stopped right around the same era, as like The Thinker. Like I got a few episodes into The Thinker arc in Flash. I was like done.
I have no idea what that is.
Yeah, it's, you're not missing much. And then, in Arrow, that was even longer. I don't even really remember where I left off.
I think I got 4 seasons into Arrow.
Yeah. I think I was,
does he fight Ra's al Ghul? Spoilers, by the way.
Oh, well, yeah. Dozens of spoilers
spoiler
coming your
if
way.
If you've never watched Arrow or any of the Arrowverse, Flash, what are they? Arrow, Flash, Supergirl.
Legends of Tomorrow.
Which I did see 2 seasons of Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah. Yep, I did too. There's also... I feel like we're missing one.
We probably are.
Oh, man, what is it?
Supergirl, Flash, Arrow... Legends of Tomorrow. No, I think we got them all.
Yeah. And then there's other one, Black Lightning.
Oh, I don't...
That may or may not actually be inducted.
Yeah, I don't know if he's actually part of the Arrowverse or not.
Yeah, that's remains to be seen, apparently.
I know basically zero about Black Lightning. Or the comic book character. I don't know anything about him at all.
Honestly, the first time I really even heard of Black Lightning was that synopsis video I just watched 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, actually, because I remember the announcement for the show. And I remember thinking that this was a made up character for the show. I didn't know it was a comic book character or
right.
a comic book show at all.
Yeah. Like a made for TV, comic book character.
I thought he was just created for the show. Kind of like Harlequin was created in the original Batman series, which a lot of people don't know. She was not originally a comic book character. What was it called? Joan, the Batman series?
The animated series?
The Amazing Batman, or...
I think it was just Batman, the animated series.
Yes, yeah. TAS. Batman TAS, the animated series. Mm-hmm. That was where Harley Quinn started.
Yeah.
That's also where Mark Hamill started as Joker.
Is it?
Yep.
Pretty sure. Was he not before that in the movies?
Was it?
Because there were animated movies before TAS, weren't there? Wasn't Mask of the Phantasm before TAS?
I have no idea.
We're going to have to Google that.
These are good questions, John.
We need some like Jeopardy music while we Google something.
Right. So yes.
Dead air. Is that copyrighted?
Probably not. They use it fucking everywhere.
The Jeopardy music?
Yeah.
I mean, they use it in Jeopardy.
They use it in all kinds of stuff.
You know, they probably use something very similar to the Jeopardy music, but they change it by like an octave. Because technically, that's not the Jeopardy music.
Well, then we should probably do that.
Family Guy does that when they did like their Star Wars episodes.
Yeah.
They would use the Star Wars theme, but they changed the octaves in it or changed around a few notes. So it obviously was the Star Wars theme, but it wasn't breaking any copyrights.
That's genius.
I mean, it's a loophole. It's not technically illegal. It's like one of those shitty life pro tips.
Frowned upon.
Yeah, frowned upon. It's not illegal. So I've watched 4 seasons of Arrow, and man, a lot of shit goes on.
Oh, that's a thick series.
Who was the main enemy in the first season? It wasn't Deadshot. He was in season 2 or 3. I think he might have been 2.
The first season, it was basically just kind of like him going around and killing.
Was it like Creature of the Week kind of thing?
A little bit. And it was like, if I remember right, because it's been so long since I've seen the first season of Arrow, but it was kind of building him up. It was like a duality of him, you know, getting trapped on Lian Yu and also him coming back and becoming Arrow. And it was kind of like they would show part of the episode as a flashback and part of the episode as him now as Arrow.
Oh, so for some clarification, first of all, I think our producer here has got the information on Batman.
Yep.
So Batman the Animated Series started first airing in 1992, and The Mask of the Phantasm came out in 1993.
Oh, so they were damn... I don't even think Joker was in Mask of the Phantasm, actually.
He was.
Was he?
Yeah.
Well, I'll be damned.
Mark Hamill is credited in that movie.
All right.
Wow. Yeah.
So he started on TAS, yep. and then moved to Mask of the Phantasm.
Yep.
Which I've seen, and it's fantastic.
I have actually not seen that movie.
The DC animated universe is on fucking point. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. They can do no wrong with the animated universe. The Arrowverse is cheesy as shit, but still enjoyable.
It's a good cheese. I like it.
But their cinematic universe has yet to be desired.
Yeah.
There's only a few that I've really enjoyed. I did not like Suicide Squad.
Yeah, I mean,
just a mess of a story.
I only watched that movie because Will Smith was in it, and I still felt disappointed at the end of that movie.
Oh, yeah. It's a disappointing movie.
Yeah.
I like Margot Robbie, don't get me wrong, but I'm not like the rest of the world is and just head over heels for her and her Harley Quinn portrayal. I mean, I'm just a stickler because I don't think she didn't have the accent right, and I think the bra scene was unnecessary.
Gratuitous.
Yeah. She's great as Harley Quinn. I will concede to that point. And I think in her new, what's that new movie with her? Birds of Prey.
Yep.
I think it looks a lot better. It looks more of a accurate portrayal in Birds of Prey than she was in Suicide Squad.
Is she working on her accent?
Probably. I mean, she's not American, so it's probably difficult for her to do.
Yeah. Taking that into account, you know, you can't really knock her too much for the first one either.
Henry Cavill is a Brit. And he plays Superman.
What?
Henry Cavill's a Brit.
Yeah, lots of them are Brits, man. That's not too uncommon these days. Like,
it's
so is
just those two.
Huh?
It's actually just like those two.
Christian Bale.
Christian Bale is too.
Oh yeah, he played.
He's
Batman.
Like a Cockney
but
man.
But he's a serious method actor, so I'm not surprised he was able to get a like blank slate American accent down really easily, because he's like Gary Oldman. Like not Gary Oldman. Who am I thinking of? Gary Oldman is also British, I think. Take that with a grain of salt.
Is he?
Who am I thinking of? Kevin Spacey? Daniel Day-Lewis is a serious character actor. Like when he did...
Gary Oldman is a British actor.
Is a British actor. Or is it Sir Gary Oldman at this point? Has he been knighted?
I don't believe so.
Oh, Gandalf's been knighted. And Patrick Stewart. It's now Sir Patrick Stewart.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's also a Brit. What was I talking about? Daniel Day-Lewis. He, when he was shooting The Crucible, or preparing for The Crucible, which is a movie about the Salem witch trials, he built and lived in like an 18th century house for like 8 months before the shooting the movie. Like, didn't bathe or anything like that. Lived as, you know, one of those people would live in that time before that movie. Like, Daniel Day-Lewis does not fuck around.
That's commitment.
Same with Christian Bale. Christian Bale is a serious method actor.
I also hear he's a douchebag.
Christian Bale?
Yeah.
I mean, there was that audio clip of him yelling at a crew member. That's all I know of.
I heard that was scathing.
I mean, I don't know if it was scathing. He's probably... They work really long hours. Like, everybody thinks... You know, actors just come in for an hour, do their scene, and then go home and get paid millions of dollars. They generally average, like, probably 12 to 18-hour days on set. Not including, you know, say they have to have makeup, like Yondu in Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm. His makeup probably took 2-3 hours to put on every morning.
God.
Look at John Rhys-Davies as Gimli in Lord of the Rings. His makeup was like a 6-hour process every single day, every morning. And that's not including, like, he'd have to get up at 3 or 4 a.m. go in, get his makeup done, and then go shooting and doing his scenes, which probably took another 12 hours. So they do an exhaustive amount of work, and that's, you know, it's not just this glamorous life of an actor. Like, they still have exhausting jobs. So I can understand, like, if a crew member fucks up and you are at the end of your fucking rope, and you've been working for 15 hours that day. This is the 17th time you've done this take, and that guy fucks it up. Say this was the take. After 20 takes, this was the one that was perfect. It was happening perfectly. Everything was coming together, and this was the one they were going to keep. And that crew member fucks up. What are you going to do?
Probably lose my shit.
I'd chew the fuck out of that guy. Like, I'd rip him a new asshole. But since he's Christian Bale, and he's famous... Somebody recorded it and put it out on the internet, and everybody thinks Christian Bale's an asshole. It's just like when actors, when like you go up to a random actor and say, hey, can I get a picture with you? And they say no, because they're doing something. And then everybody spreads these rumors that, oh, Ryan Reynolds is an asshole because he didn't want to take a picture with me. He's probably had a long fucking day of people asking him, can I get a picture with you? And right. Sooner or later, he's just paying for his drink, and he wants to pay for his drink and walk out of the restaurant. And people are barraging him for a fucking picture because he's Ryan Reynolds. Like, that shit sounds exhausting. Am I wrong in this? Am I defending actors too much? I mean, there are some that
say no,
that are just, like, plain assholes. Apparently, Tobey Maguire is a hardcore asshole.
That makes me sad. We will talk about
today with Spider-Man. Yeah, it does suck, but I guess he was kind of an asshole before Spider-Man. I don't know. I hope Tobey Maguire doesn't listen to this.
He probably
won't.
If he does,
you should tell his friends I'm sorry, Tobey.
Who knows?
Let's hope not. apparently, Edward Norton is a real stickler to work with. And he, there was a rumor, again, rumor, take it with a grain of salt. But there was a rumor that he only did the Hulk because he demanded to write a portion of it. Like, there were some scenes that he wrote and directed and wanted the credit in the movie.
How?
And that's like the only reason he played the Hulk.
How does that work? If you write and direct a number of scenes in a movie,
I'd still technically get the credit because he did it.
So, writer, director.
I mean, well, you'd maybe get like an executive director credit or something. I don't know how it would work, but or maybe they'd say it in the credits how, you know, certain scenes were directed by blah 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 or something like that. I just know he was a prissy bitch to deal with. Hopefully Edward Norton doesn't listen to this.
Man.
I'm sorry, Eddie.
I kind of hope he does. He sounds like a douchebag.
I don't want him knocking down your door. Fuck you guys been saying about me in my Hulk performance.
That it
wasn't great.
Wasn't great. Yeah, like...
That's a lie. I really did enjoy his movie.
The movie was good, but I feel like it still kind of left something to be desired.
Yeah. To get back on topic, you mentioned Lian Yu.
I think.
Yes. So Oliver Queen is Arrow, the Green Arrow, or they call him the Hood in the first season. I don't think, did they ever actually call him Green Arrow?
They just start calling him Arrow, I think. Arrow, and then okay. Later, I think, yes, later he starts calling himself the Green Arrow.
The Green Arrow.
To try to be like someone who was inspired by the Arrow's ideals, but won't be killing or some shit like that. I don't remember. But
doesn't that happen in the second season?
Something or
first
something
season like he actually killed people.
Yeah, second season, he's a fucking murderer.
I don't think he did kill people.
No, he changes, and then I think deeper into the series after some shit goes down, he starts fighting with the idea of killing people again. Like he has to kill somebody, and he doesn't
want
to.
Spoilers. If you haven't seen it, producer, I don't know if you've seen it. I don't think you have. I don't actually assume you'll be watching it either, but yeah. So Slade Wilson, Deathstroke. There we go. Oh, my bad. I'm sorry. There's so many death and dead characters, Deadpool, Deadshot, Deathstroke. He kills Oliver Queen's mom and just his mom and dad and his stepdad. And I think that's when he considers killing again, isn't it? That happens in season two.
Yes.
I think it's season two.
Yeah. Shit gets real. Like,
oh, that's one. Okay. That's one of my gripes about the, not necessarily the Arrowverse, but, the Arrow show is in the comics. Green Arrow is, he's like a happy-go-lucky guy. He's always kidding around and pulling pranks on... He's pithy. Yeah, he's pulling pranks on everybody. I mean, he's got arrows with punching bags and stuff on him that he uses. And in the show, it's just super dark all the time.
Yeah, he's always gloomy
super
and
gritty
broody.
And gloomy and dark. Yeah. It's Batman style. Batman doesn't have a lot of comedy. Except in the Justice League show, Batman's told a couple of jokes, I think.
What?
Once or twice. In like the 9 seasons that show was on the air, I think he told like 2 jokes. They were good jokes, though. If I remember correctly, it's been like 15 years since I've seen it, but they were pretty good jokes. On back to the topic, Lian Yu. Is Lian Li a person?
It's a PC case manufacturer.
Is it?
It is.
I should have known that.
I did.
I should have known that.
They make really nice cases.
I do remember that, actually, because they make the sectional cases that are super expensive.
Yeah. Like, you're pushing, like, $100 or $200. Yeah.
No. You're pushing, like, $300 or $400 for one of their nice cases.
Oh, I was thinking, like, their lower-end ones.
They're actual, like, multi-sectional cases that you can, you know, pull out the graphics card as its own piece. The modular cases. Mm-hmm. Those are, like, $400 or $500. Lian Li cases. Oh, I remember those now. Fond memories.
They're very nice.
They are very nice cases. I wish I could have one, but I'm not. I can't justify spending that kind of money on a case.
They sound very nice. They sound very interesting. Nice.
We got to build a PC. Anyway, So Lian Yu is the island that Oliver Queen gets trapped on when his dad's boat, the Queen Mary? No. Queen Mary is an actual boat. shit. I really should have. This is definitely a relaxed episode.
Yeah. We did like no research on this. We watched like a 13-minute recap.
I remembered more of the show. I actually just started rewatching it too, and I still can't remember the name of it.
Really? It's been at least 3 years for me. Queen Anne's Revenge.
Queen. No. That's. You're just saying familiar boats now. What. Queen, I don't remember. I don't remember. The boat goes down. It's like a yacht. It's his dad's yacht, and he gets trapped on Lian Yu Island after his dad shoots himself. We find out later. Initially, you just assume that the dad and
Queen's Gambit.
Yeah. Queen's Gambit. I knew it was something Queen because it's Oliver Queen because it's the family. But it's originally assumed that everybody drowns on the boat. But really, like, there's this whole deep conspiracy to it, and the dad shoots himself. But then you find out later that the mom and the... I don't think the stepdad was in on it, because he finds the boat later, and it's a whole mess.
Yeah.
But the mom is in on it with, what's his name? Damien Tark. It's spelled all weird. It's like D-A-H-R-K or something. Dark.
Dark.
It's pronounced dark. He's the Dark Archer. Damien Tark.
Yeah.
That dude... Queen's best friend's dad.
He's like freaking white blonde.
No. You're right. That's Damien Dark. I got that mixed up.
You're thinking of.
I'm thinking of. What's his name? Jesus. We should
the name of him is on the tip of my tongue.
Producer. The character, he's the bad guy in like season 3 or season 4. One of the two seasons.
He's actually kind of a bad guy in all of it.
He's just a dick, honestly.
Yeah.
He's just a raging dick.
Turns out to be one
I know the actor. I love the actor.
Yeah, he does plays, a great job.
He plays Captain Jack Harkness.
Yeah. In Doctor Who.
In Doctor Who.
Yeah.
And in Torchwood, which was a spinoff of Doctor Who. And he's fantastic.
Wow.
And apparently he is a... what's the term where you love everybody? Like you're sexually attracted to everybody?
Pansexual?
Pansexual. He's pansexual.
Oh.
Yeah. Jack Harkness will lay with anyone.
That makes sense because he will.
Alien or human alike. I think he bangs aliens. Probably. I mean, it's Doctor Who. It's not Doctor Who. It's Torchwood.
Oh, no. 100%. 100%. No, they alluded to that in like the first episode.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you watch Torchwood?
No. I'm talking about Doctor Who.
Oh,
the first episode that he's in.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a rousing horn dog. Did we get the character? Nothing?
No.
No idea?
No clue. Yeah.
Thanks, producer. Shit. Thank you for that. Well, he plays a character.
Oh, God.
The Dark Archer, who is also the name, or the father of Oliver Queen's best friend, who I also can't remember his name. It's like Lonnie or some shit, who dies in the end of the first season. But the first season is just so dark and so moody and depressing. But it was great because the fights...
Malcolm Merlin.
Merlin. That's what it is. Malcolm Merlin. There we go. What's his son's name?
His son's name. Let me see.
Something
here.
Merlin. Either way, the son...
Tommy.
Tommy Merlin. And then the girl they're all pining after is I can't pronounce her name right. It's not Laura and it's not Lauren. It's Jesus. We're just going to have to scrap this whole episode. We are not prepared. but she's great. I love the actress that plays her. She's not a journalist. She's a lawyer and he was dating her when he supposedly dies and goes to the island. But you find out later that he had taken her... Laurel.
Yes,
there we go.
That's it.
He
I was looking for it, but I couldn't find it.
Her sister, Sarah, on the boat with him. And her sister died on the boat, you think.
No, didn't she actually die?
No, she comes back.
But she died. But then she's resurrected.
No. That happens later.
Ah, oh yeah, yeah, no, yeah. Because
then
right.
She gets that super lust to kill.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. That's right.
With the Lazarus.
That's
pit.
Right. That's yeah. Right.
Ra's al Ghul. Ra's al Ghul.
Ra's al Ghul.
They pronounce it so.
Ra's al Ghul. I want to rewatch this stuff now.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. In Nolan's Batman, they pronounce it Ra's al Ghul, but I believe in the Arrow show they pronounce it Ra's al Ghul.
But it's spelled the same.
I don't think so.
You sure?
Are they?
Pretty sure it's spelled the same.
I don't know if they're spelled the same. I pronounce Nolan's universe is peak DC in my brain. So the way they pronounce it is the way I'm going to pronounce it. So Ra's al Ghul is how it's pronounced.
It sounds better too.
Who we think is Ken Watanabe, but is not Ken Watanabe. It's actually Liam Neeson. Who all along.
Oh no.
He burns down the Bruce Wayne Manor. You think Bruce Wayne knows his address?
Or he just says the Bruce Wayne Manor.
Yeah. Like, does Bruce Wayne have an address? Or is it just the Wayne Manor on the Wayne Manor Road?
And it's the like big the house with a W on it. That is, one road. It's like one Wayne Manor Road.
0001 Wayne Manor Road. Just telling like an Uber, okay, how do I get there? It's on my road. So what's your road? Wayne Road. It's the only house on that road. What does it look like? Like a really big school.
What are the cross streets?
What are
Wayne
streets?
Road and Bruce Way?
Wayne Road and Bruce Way. That sounds like Batman's weird cousin. Instead of Bruce Wayne, it's Bruce Way.
Yeah.
I'm the Batman.
Yeah.
Nolan's universe aside, I got to get out of the habit of comparing everything to the Nolan universe.
But it's so good, though.
There's nothing that can compare. But we can't compare them because Nolan's universe is Nolan's universe. Like, it's not even really a part of the DC universe. Like the new Joker movie. That's not... It shouldn't be considered part of the DC universe. Don't say anything because I haven't seen it.
I haven't either, I was about to say.
Okay.
I haven't seen it.
I don't think any of us have seen it.
I've seen it.
You've seen it?
Oh, yeah.
Damn it. Oh, yeah.
But it's... Just confirm that. Don't spoiler anything, but confirm that it's not really supposed to be considered part of the DC, like the greater DC cinematic universe.
It is not part of the greater DC cinematic universe.
Thank you for that eloquent confirmation.
Absolutely.
And I believe the director came out and said that there will be no continuations either. There's not going to be any sequels or prequels or anything.
It's a standalone movie.
Nothing goes with it. But I mean, the quality of the movie, apparently it's fantastic.
I've heard great things. I've heard people had to walk out of the freaking theater because it was so freaking terrifying, apparently.
Like, I mean, I didn't hear that.
I've read about people like calling for it to be banned because it condoned violence.
It's a story about the Joker. What the fuck do you think is going to happen?
Like, for real, though, like, why didn't people call for Deadpool to be banned? That shit was dark. Like, this shit doesn't make sense.
People brought their
kids to Deadpool?
Huh? People brought their kids to Deadpool?
Yeah.
Thinking it was going to be like a normal superhero
movie. They had to freaking have Ryan Reynolds make a... Oh, this is so hilarious. Ryan Reynolds made a freaking... I think this might have been for Deadpool 2 because of what happened with Deadpool 1. But he made like a cutscene right before they start the movie of him just sitting in a chair that says, okay, for those of you who don't know, this movie is not for kids. So, right now, I'm going to start off by telling you how babies are made, boys and girls. First, your daddy puts his penis in your mommy's vagina. Then he moves very, very fast until his semen spurts out of his penis. And then 9 months later, you come popping out of her vagina. That is also, so... Santa Claus is not real. Your mom and dad are lying to you. Okay, enjoy the movie.
Oh, man. That's so perfect. That's very Deadpool and very Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, yeah. And
I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't his idea.
It was just him in a leather jacket. It was just like they just called him up one day like, hey, we need to do this really quick before this goes to theater. All right, let's do it.
I think there was like a Facebook campaign to have the first Deadpool made kid friendly. And Ryan Reynolds came out and basically just said, fuck your kid. It's an R-rated movie. We're not changing it.
They made a PG-13 cut. Of the Deadpool movies.
Of Deadpool 2, yeah. It was like a winter special or some shit where it was narrated by...
There was the Christmas, like... There was some footage, like some Deadpool footage that we'd never seen, and it was like holiday footage that they shot for the holiday. Did that come with the PG-13 edition of Deadpool?
I think it was marketed like that. Like, it was released around a holiday, and it was like it's a PG-13 version of Deadpool with some unseen footage that's like...
It's called Once Upon a Deadpool.
Yeah. Who was the narrator? Like, who was the co-host or whoever? Like, they...
Oh, it was Fred Savage.
Yeah.
Because he was duct taped to the bed.
He was
in the room that they use in... Princess Bride.
Yeah, that's him.
Oh, that was so fantastic. I loved that trailer because they pull back the covers and he's duct taped to the bed and he can't leave. Oh, Fred Savage.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I love Fred Savage. So the Arrowverse. So that's Arrow. Super dark, broody, enjoyable. It gets pretty nuts. The first season, I don't know. I don't remember if there was like an actual... villain arc to the first season or if it was more creature of the week type stuff.
Yeah, I feel like it was a lot like
him going against the I don't remember what they called it, like it was like the Senate from Star Wars. It was the conglomerate that wanted to use the earthquakes to take out the slums of Star City.
Yeah,
is it called Star City?
Yeah,
or is that the Flash?
Central City is the Flash.
Central City. No, I thought Star City was the Flash and Central City is...
You're right.
Because there was also Star Labs in the Flash.
Right, in...
Next, because I have some gripes about the Flash. Overall, though, I did enjoy Arrow. I think the guy that played Deathstroke was cool. I like that actor. If you ever want to see his dick, watch Spartacus. Because he hangs dong in Spartacus.
I can't say that that's something I'm looking for.
Well, you know, if you ever watch it, be prepared, because Deathstroke, he hangs dong. But he was great Deathstroke. They've got a different guy playing Deathstroke now. He was in a end credits cut scene for Justice League. I believe it was Justice League. No, it might have been Batman vs. Superman.
I think I remember that.
Which one had Lex Luthor in it? Batman vs. Superman had Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
And which I also have gripes with.
Yeah, that's right. It was on a yacht, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And they like artificially made his hair and eyebrows gray. And it looked really weird. I love the actor. But making him artificially like Gray Fox, they should have just kept his hair. Come on. Put him in the armor. Just keep his regular hair. Or just have him wear the fucking mask.
Yeah, that's iconic enough.
Yeah, that's how we know Deathstroke is his weird ass, you know, mask. Wasn't Deathstroke also in, to get off topic, Teen Titans? Or was, yeah. That was Slade. He was called Slade. That wasn't Death. It was like the Teen Titans edition of Deathstroke.
And it was just Slade? His first name, Slade Wilson?
Is what they called him. I don't think it was a full-blown Deathstroke. Pretty sure it was just Slade. Because Batman really wasn't a thing in Teen Titans.
At all.
Did he ever show up in the show?
I don't think so. I don't think he was even... Was he even mentioned?
Oh, I mean, he's absolutely mentioned. It's Teen Titans. Robin is like the leader of Teen Titans. He learned everything from Batman.
It's been so long.
I feel like it's pretty much required to mention Batman at some point.
But he never shows up. I know that much.
Yeah, no, he doesn't show up in the show. They just call him Slade. So we'll just assume it was Slade Wilson. But he seems... Or maybe like Slade Wilson Jr., you know?
Like the kid?
Son of... Deathstroke, the sequel. Oh, episode name right there.
Bingo. Yeah.
So let's move on to The Flash. Have you seen The Flash at all, John?
No.
Man, we got to show you these shows just for context.
Mm.
So you can see how dumb some of this shit is. Some of it was really cool, but a lot of it is dumb.
I feel like The Flash is by far the cheesiest of them.
Oh, you didn't watch Supergirl.
No, I didn't.
I did. I tried. I really tried. To anybody listening, I gave it the old college try. I put down 4 or 5 episodes, and I tried with Supergirl.
That's about how far I got into it.
Could not get into it. It's super cringy. It's super cheesy. I love the actress that plays her. There's some really emotional scenes that were done really well. But on the whole, the show, I just could not get past it. It was just not good, in my opinion.
You know what? Maybe I'm lying. Maybe I saw up to where Martian Manhunter shows up.
That's like season 2, isn't it?
I might have done that. I was in Washington State for a little while, and I was feeling kind of ill, so I just laid up in bed for like a week watching stuff on my laptop. And I don't remember half of what I watched that week. And a lot of it was the Arrowverse.
I mean, well, to be fair, apparently the show gets better. I think the first season is like the cheesiest, but I also think the first season of a show should be the season that pulls you in, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like they should pull out all the stops for the first season. I don't think it should be something like people have always told me with like The Walking Dead, for example. You know, get through the first season, then it gets better. Well, the first season should be one of the most enjoyable because that gets you hooked on the show, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So saying skip the first season, well, that's skipping fucking everything that should be building up the show and building up the world, all of that character progression and world building that you're going to skip because you're skipping the shitty first season.
Well, shit. A lot of people are only interested in, like, the guts and the killing and the gore and stuff. They don't care about the character building or the drama. They just want to see like the Walking action. Dead? Yeah.
Dude, Walking Dead is all about character building. That's what the show is about.
Yeah, I know.
It's and my brother told it to me this way. The thing about Walking Dead is it's not about zombies. It's not about, you know, the Walking Dead. It's about how in an apocalypse situation, the worst enemy is not the dead. It's other people. And they do, in the defense of the Walking Dead, I stopped watching in season 6. It just got so dumb. I didn't want to watch it. But they do a fantastic job of character arcs and character building. And portraying that how other humans are your worst enemy in the apocalypse situation. And I think they've gone back to how zombies are the actual enemy. But I think they dipped off really badly with season 7, 8, and 9. And they lost a lot of... Walking Dead is dying. Not a lot of people
are
watching
it. Isn't
it dead?
Didn't they kill off...
Rick is not dead.
I thought they killed him.
Nope, he's not dead. They made it seem like they killed him. And then at the end of the episode, he flies off in a chopper to like Georgia or some shit, or like Florida or some shit. So Rick's not dead. He's still alive. He's just not on the show. They are in talks with the actor that plays Rick to do 3 Walking Dead movies, which I don't know how well those would work.
The hell?
I mean, we've already got 10 fucking seasons of the show. Do we need movies?
How can you make 3 movies out of that?
Plus, we've got Fear of the Walking Dead, which is a spinoff of The Walking Dead. So it's just like, it's like The Walking Dead, but in California.
Lovely.
Yeah. Actually, apparently Fear of the Walking Dead is better than Walking Dead.
Better?
Yeah.
Better how?
I guess it's just better, higher quality. I haven't even watched it. I lost pretty much all interest. My main issue with The Walking Dead, and you guys can definitely chime in on this if you've seen it, but up to season 6, it's not like the how dark the episodes get. Like, they get dark. That show gets fucked up. Seriously fucked up. But it gets to a point where our main characters, you know, the core party with Rick and Carol and Daryl and all them, they never win. Like, it's always just more shit piled on top of them. And it's just constant throughout the season. And I just stopped watching it. I lost all interest. I don't want to see my characters just constantly get shit on. Like, sooner or later, they need an episode where they win. You know? And I didn't see that up till a couple of episodes into season 7. You know? I don't want to see that.
I can sympathize with that. Yeah, it just gets boring. I stopped, like, halfway through season 5. I lost it.
Honestly, I think season 2 or 3 were probably the best. Yeah. The prison and then the farm after the prison were probably my favorites.
Oh, yeah. The fucking prison. That was gnarly. Yeah.
What do you think, John?
I kind of liked season 2.
Like, with the prison?
No, the farm before the prison.
Yeah, the farm I was before the prison. I thought the prison
was season 2.
The prison was after.
Yeah, they run to the farm.
Herschel's farm was season 2 then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where Glenn meets... It's happening again. I forgot a character. Maggie?
Yes.
Maggie.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, all right. I think I got mixed up because the actress's name is Laura, if I remember right.
Laura Dern?
I don't think it's Laura Dern.
It's not Laura Dern. That's the lady from Jurassic Park.
Yeah. I always loved Laura Dern.
She's great.
Yeah. She's the one that she has to flip the switches in Jurassic Park, the blonde archaeologist.
Mm.
Yeah, that's Laura Dern.
Oh, yeah.
She's big.
100%.
Yeah, but she pulled off that anthropologist look really well.
I think she was born for that role, man.
Everybody in that movie was born for that role. Oh, Spielberg, God, that was... his casting is on point. We are off fucking topic. Horrendously. Weren't we moving to The Flash and we got into The Walking Dead? That's a comic book. We'll talk about Walking Dead a little bit.
Yeah.
So you, 2 was your favorite.
Yeah, I think I stuck with it. Oh, geez. I think they got to that, like, that big town.
Alexandria?
Yeah, that's about how far I got. I think to the point where Rick became the leader of the town and that old lady died.
Oh, man. Oh, so that episode is actually really good.
Yeah.
Because at that point, this is where I'm talking about the character arcs. Because at the beginning of the show, Rick and his party had the 3 questions. Have you ever killed a person? I don't remember all the 3 questions, but 2 of the questions were, have you ever killed a person and why? And basically they wouldn't let somebody in their party if they answered those questions incorrectly.
How many walkers have you killed?
Yeah, yeah. How many walkers have you killed? Have you killed a person and why did you kill that person? Something like that. And then by the time they get to Alexandria, they're all just beaten. I mean, they are war-torn and beaten. And if I remember right, the episodes before the Alexandria episodes... there's one of them where they had suppressed pistols and they went into a house and they knock out a couple, or they take out a couple of zombies, and it's raining outside and Rick isn't eating because everybody else is starving, and they find some dog food and they're sitting in the house. Everything's quiet. There's no music. There's no dialogue. And they're just sitting there in the quiet eating dog food. And Rick basically decides at this point, like, fuck this. I'm not letting you people go through this anymore. And they find Alexandria after that. And Rick is... he's got his murder jacket at this point, his fur coat, or his fur collared bomber jacket, his murder jacket, which is affectionately named.
Mm-hmm.
And that season, he is suspicious like the entire time of Alexandria. And by the end of it, some shit happens, like some zombies get in and a few people get killed. And there's like this town meeting around a campfire, and somebody steals Michonne's sword and cuts a bystander and kills the bystander. And it was that the mayor chick's husband, if I remember right. No, it wasn't the mayor chick's husband. It was the chick that Rick had a thing for, the blonde with the two kids. It was her husband, her like abusive husband.
Oh yeah.
And he stole Michonne's sword and killed somebody with it. And he's on the ground, and the mayor basically gives Rick a look that's like, okay, you take over. And Rick walks up without a fucking blink and without missing a step and guns the dude down right there. One shot, and just shoots him right through the head on the ground. And then that's when he takes control of Alexandria. And it was a brutal scene, but it was so well done. There's another scene with Rick that shows how desensitized he's become to killing. It's right after they meet Jesus. Do you remember Jesus? Did you get to that point?
That's where I stopped.
So they're at Jesus' compound. And I think this is before they know who Negan is and Negan's band of miscreants. But they're at Jesus' compound. And one of the guys there, they find out that like his brother died or something, and he attacks Rick with a knife, and everybody else doesn't do anything. It's just these two fighting on the ground. And while all the other people are yelling at each other, this guy who's attacking Rick, he's on top of him. He's basically got the knife to his throat, and he turns away to look at something, and Rick takes his knife out and basically rips the guy's neck out and just gets covered in fucking blood.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Covered. And he's got his murder jacket on. And he just gets covered in blood. Like, you see it just pour onto him in puddles. And he stands up, and everybody's giving him these looks, and he just kind of turns around with blood all over his face. And he's just, what? Like, it was nothing. I mean, he just gutted this guy that was on top of him, and it was nothing to him. So that's the change in Rick. And then there's the time that he bites that dude's neck out.
I saw that shit. That was fucking raw.
The guy that was gonna rape Coral.
Oh, man.
Carl. But Coral. The internet's ruined me. But that guy, Rick, I believe he's handcuffed, and he more or less just takes a chunk out of the dude's neck and rips it out.
The jugular.
Yeah. Just takes
bleeds
out the
like
jugular
a fountain.
And the dude just bleeds out. No, not that dude. It was the leader of that biker gang that he does that to. But the guy that said he was gonna rape Carl, he guts with a knife.
Ah.
That was brutal. That's another time we see the dark side of Rick. Like, you don't fuck around with Rick, man.
That man is darkness, I think.
But that's what I mean, is they've seen so much depression and darkness through the course of that show. And they used to have, like, one or two episodes in the season that were, like, a win, you know? They were just, I wouldn't say happy episodes, but they weren't episodes where they were constantly getting shit on.
Like when they first found the prison compound.
Or, you know, one of the episodes where the prison is thriving.
Yeah.
The farm is good. Everything's working. Everybody's alive, you know, and it's all thriving. And then shit goes down with the general what is he called? The general?
Yeah. Yeah.
The governor.
Governor. There we go. God, I'm so unprepared. We weren't prepared to talk about Walking Dead, but I guess we all had kind of gripes about it.
This was.
And I mean, don't get me wrong. The show is very high quality. Like, they've got very high production value, and the acting is superb, and the story arcs are fantastic, but I just can't do it. It's just so depressing.
I'm gonna try it again. I think I'm gonna start at season 3 and see how far I can get.
There's a guy with a tiger.
What?
Yeah, there's a guy with a tiger. He's got a pet tiger. It's in season 8. I think they call him the king. Is that season 8? Yeah. Are you shaking your head because you didn't like it?
Not a fan.
You're not a fan of the tiger guy?
No.
He was the king, wasn't he?
Something like
they called
like
him
that.
My liege or some shit?
I don't know. It was too much for me.
It was a dumb character.
There's a dude with a fucking tiger.
He's got a fucking tiger. Who are those magicians that had tigers? That got
Siegfried
attacked?
And Roy?
Siegfried and Roy.
Didn't they get eaten by their tiger?
One of them got, he didn't get
Roy,
eaten, but
he
got
Roy
attacked.
Got attacked.
It didn't kill him, though.
Mm.
But I believe they did have to put down the tigers.
Yeah.
So that's Walking Dead. I have not caught up. The 10th season has got the main character is played by an actress that I really love. She was. You ever seen Minority Report?
Yes.
Joan, you've never seen Minority Report?
No.
I love that you have to lean forward every time you want to talk into the mic. We're trying to get you into the episode.
I know, but I want to be like the research and the fact-checking guy.
Yeah, that does help. But she was in Minority Report. She played the precog in Minority Report. That
no
actress.
Shit.
She is fantastic. I've loved her in everything I've seen her in. And I don't think I've ever actually seen her with hair. She's always been bald in her roles.
Does she have hair in this one?
No, she's bald.
Maybe she's bald.
Well, I mean, she's got like stubble. Would you call it stubble on the top of your head? Is that called stubble?
Yes.
What would you call that?
Short, really short hair.
Valuable contribution. Thank you.
Oh my God.
I mean, all right. I don't know what it's called.
To throw in my two cents, I would say yes. That would be stubble.
Well, yeah, we'll just call it hair head stubble.
Head stubble.
Head stubble?
Peach fuzz?
No, that's more like the hair on your face and like your neck and stuff like that. Or is that a dude thing? Do dudes have peach fuzz?
When they're young.
Isn't that the, like, translucent hairs that you have on your skin?
I think so.
Yes. It's like the... Yeah.
Well, we don't know, so we'll just assume that. Makes an ass out of you and me, but fuck it at this point.
Now we're talking about peach fuzz.
And now we're talking about peach fuzz on a show about comic books, comic book movies, and the latter and the like.
Lovely.
So The Boys.
Oh, yeah.
We've moved well past Arrowverse, and we're now into better and better things. Let's actually sidebar Boys really quick. We should gripe a little bit about The Flash.
Yeah.
Because I believe you have seen at least 3 seasons of The Flash.
Yes, I think 4 actually.
When was the speed god?
Fucking Sabotar?
Yeah, was that season 3?
I think it was 3.
I've seen season 3 then. I've seen up till him and then I stopped.
Because season 1... No, it was season 4. Saboteur was season 4 because season 1...
Season 1 was Negative Flash.
Was Negative Flash. Season 2 was Zoom.
Yeah.
Season 3 was Reverse Flash, wasn't it?
No, Reverse Flash was season 1.
You said Negative... Yeah, you're right.
He's season 3. Saboteur season 3. Evil Barry, season 3. It's season 3. So, my gripe with The Flash... It's really fucking cheesy. I'd say my main issue is the fight scenes.
Right.
Like, take the first season of Arrow. Fight scenes, yes, they're heavily choreographed, but they still look like a decent fight. Like, they're actually really fighting each other, other than obviously the heavy choreography. But in Flash, they're just really fucking cheesy. And there isn't really any impact to the fights or anything like that.
And like how he runs, like when it's just a straight shot of him, like jogging in place and everything.
I mean, I love the guy that played. I mean, I like him better than. We're getting a timeout real quick. So the Flash actor, we had a little timeout there because we had a problem with one of the mics. But the Flash actor, I like the guy that they have in the show. I like him better than Ezra Miller. In the Justice League movie.
Yeah, I don't know. Something about Ezra's performance left something to be desired.
His running was really weird, too.
Yeah, and his attitude, it was. I don't know. I mean, I guess I was spoiled to The Flash Barry, too. Like, Barry, it's not so much The Flash, it's Barry Allen. Like, the way he plays Barry Allen is great.
Yeah, just jumping into fights. Like, he, with no hesitation... just jumps to help people. Whereas yep. In the movie, he's actually quoted saying he pushes people and then runs away. And I think that directly goes against what Flash is.
Right, exactly.
Barry Allen as a character is more the hero type. You know, he's more to jump into a fight without hesitation.
Very brave and selfless even. Like,
yeah.
The Arrowverse.
He's kind of selfish. I mean, in the Arrowverse, he fucks up the time. This is actually what killed me on The Flash. He fucks up the timeline so much in his own... personal mission to both save his mom and save Iris.
Mm-hmm.
And it just screwed up the show for me. I didn't enjoy it at that point.
It turned into him having to, spoilers, by the way, but he had to go and basically live in the Speed Force.
Oh yeah.
And because otherwise it would destroy the world.
He was in like a Speed Force prison.
Yeah. Because he offset the balance or whatever.
Which directly came from him fucking up the timeline.
Yeah. So it was his penance.
He fucks with the timelines because he can run so fast. He can run back in time. And there's actually memes about it, how much Barry fucks up the timeline. And it's just bad. He does it like six times trying to save people. And most of it is in season three with, what's his name? Savitar?
Savitar, yeah.
Savitar. Savitar or Savitar?
I think it's a B.
Bitar. The speed god. It turns out to be bad Barry. He's like a
speed clone.
He's a speed clone. See what I mean about the cheesiness? Well, the comics do this kind of shit too. But he's a speed clone of Barry, but he's evil. And the whole season is around this future that Barry saw that Iris dies. And Iris is his sister. Well, his pseudo sister.
Adopted sister
of the police detective that adopted him when his mom dies in the past. And his dad goes away for his mom's murder, but his mom was murdered by the Reverse Flash in the past. But then in the first season, he fights with the Reverse Flash and stops his mom's death, thus clearing his dad's name. It just gets so confusing.
Twisty turny.
It's like you're describing Kingdom Hearts to me.
I couldn't even describe Kingdom Hearts. I've never played it. So
it's ridiculous.
It's confusing timelines and...
Oh, yeah. Like, I can't even follow it. Like, apparently the newest one is
actually, I did
insane.
Read about that the people that have played the first two games still got lost with the third game with the storyline and the way the universe was going.
Well, there's like 10 or 15, like, spin-off games that have come out between the time that 2 came out and 3. And they're on just random consoles, like the 3DS,
There's no continuity between any of them?
There is, and that's the problem, but they're, like, at different points in the timeline, and I think it gets, like, interdimensional. Like, it gets so ridiculous for a game about anime people and Disney characters.
See, that's the problem, is I know nothing about Kingdom Hearts. I don't know who the main character is or his relation to the Disney characters that he fights with. Doesn't he have, like, a key that he hits people with?
Yeah.
What does that mean? What is the key? What does it mean?
It unlocks... It sounds really lame when you describe it, like, out of the context of the game, but I'm pretty sure it's supposed to, like, unlock people's hearts and, like... At least in the first two games, like, every world has, like, a keyhole you're supposed to lock at, like, the very end of the world. And it's supposed to, like, prevent the darkness from taking over the world. Like,
but he's still beating people to death with a key. So yeah. Is he just telling himself that he's unlocking their hearts?
I guess.
Kind of like that Pete Holmes short of Batman. They call him Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And he thinks all the enemies he fights are going to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Even though... He hits a dude in the neck with the fins on his arm, and, like, he's bleeding from the neck. And they're like, what do you think that guy's doing? He's sleeping. they tell him, like, the same thing that happened to your pet fish is what you're doing to these men. I overfed these men? Pete Holmes' Batman is fucking brilliant. I'm going to plug that on YouTube. Find the Batman series because they're fantastic. And Pete Holmes is a comedic genius when it comes to his skits. They're fucking hilarious.
I overfed these men.
Who's the comedian? Oh shit, his wife died. He just
Patton Oswalt.
He plays the Penguin in one of those shorts, and it's fucking hilarious. It is just hilarious. So the Flash. Flash, they killed it when he starts fucking with the timelines. And he does it specifically in the third season. He does it a lot because Bad Barry, he sees a future where he kills Iris. Barry is like head over heels for Iris. And I honestly think she is a non-essential character in the TV show. She doesn't provide any support at all to the show. She doesn't move the story along at all. She's just kind of a victim in the third season. Which I think is dumb. I think she should have been more of an integral part to the show and actually move the story along. Like mm-hmm. Cisco and the Killer Frost. I don't remember her actual name. The character's name.
Oh, Caitlin.
Caitlin,
I think.
Is that the actress or the character?
That's the character.
That's the character. Killer. She's cool. I'm not a big fan of the actress. We've talked about this before.
I cannot just remember her name.
I'm tainted by the things I've seen her in before. But the character was cool. I like Caitlin as a character. But those two actually further on the story. And Iris doesn't at all. She's just there to look pretty and be Barry's love. Object of love?
Yeah, let's leave it at that.
Focus of love?
Focus of love, yeah.
Focus, yeah. And her I don't remember how they finish off that episode. Like, it was a dude that could shapeshift that took the place of Iris, and she still gets stabbed and dies, but it was like... It was, who's the science dude? Not Cisco. Doctor or something. Guy in a wheelchair.
Oh, it's on the tip of my tongue, too.
Yeah, I can't remember. It was in that video that I watched, too, and I can't remember it. Anyway, he takes the form of Iris. This is off the top of my head. I don't remember 100%. But he takes the form of Iris, and Bad Barry's speed god thing stabs her in that episode. And him dies instead of the actual Iris. And then we find out that it's Bad Barry the whole time. And honestly, I do have to give him some credit. Most of the time when we see the speed god on screen, it was practical effects. Like, it was a dude in a suit.
Mm.
And that looked a lot better than it being completely CGI. Because a lot of the enemies in Flash, it's another gripe I have, is they're completely CGI and they just look dumb. And because TV show CGI is not great. TV CGI is not fantastic. Depending on the show you watch. Mandalorian, it's fantastic. But
I'm so happy with Flash. That. I'm so happy with the Mandalorian. It feels so
Star Wars compared to a lot of the stuff we've had lately.
I haven't watched the third episode yet. I'm going to watch it tomorrow.
Oh, it's out?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay, I'm going to have to watch it. So we're going to move on from Flash. Just in closing on Flash, I enjoy the show. It's not something I'm going to go out of my way to watch, but I'll put it on when I'm playing Skyrim or something. Like, I'll put it on the background. You looked like you had something to say. No? Okay. He's just shaking his head. Taking that producer role real seriously.
Absolutely.
So moving from Flash, well, how did you feel about the Flash? What were your thoughts?
My feelings were much the same as yours. I rather enjoyed the first two seasons.
Yeah, like, I really enjoyed them.
And they were
entertaining to watch. I love Cisco. Actor, Cisco's great. That actor. I love the character.
Doctor, what's his face? I still can't remember that.
Who turns out to be evil?
Wells? Orson Welles.
Yes. Dr. Wells. He turns out to be evil because he's not the actual Dr. Wells who died. He is the reverse Flash who can change his outer appearance by vibrating his skin. So to add to your confusion of this show, the main character that we know and love as Wells is actually the bad guy.
Oh, but wait, it gets better.
But we get a second Wells from Earth 2.
But we get more than just a second Wells. We also get a plethora. Wells'
daughter
we from get Earth 2. Many Wellses. Remember the Wells interviews? Oh, yeah. There were so many different Orson Wells.
They interviewed different Earth's Wells.
Dozens of them.
The right one.
So there was like a hillbilly one, yeah. There was a really smart, couth, pithy one, there was one that was like...
There was, the one they actually kept was, he was the one that died.
Yeah.
The one they actually kept was like a, what's the music? It's not beatnik music. Ska. He was like a really big fan of ska and like carried around drumsticks. Not like chicken drumsticks, but like, is there a name for drumsticks that I don't know? Like, you professional... people, is there a name for drums that you were drumming?
Like a drumstick you play on a drum kit?
Yeah,
that's
drumstick.
Just a drumstick.
It's just called drumsticks. There's no like.
I always used to just call them my sticks.
There's no highbrow name for drumsticks.
No.
So drumsticks. He carries around drumsticks, and he's like from Earth 2. He has a daughter who is super cute. I will admit.
Yes.
And she. Okay, it's about to get a little more confusing. So when Barry fucks up the timeline. Iris has a brother, which we find out about in season, I want to say 2, but he's just a normal dude.
An estranged brother,
but in season 3, when Barry fucks with the timeline, he gets Speed Force powers and becomes the Flash. Okay, there's number 1. And then we get Earth 2, Orson Welles. I think it's Orson Welles. I don't know if he was called Orson Welles. That's it's you're just thinking of the director, Orson Welles. Dr. Welles, we'll just say Dr. Welles.
Yeah, just Welles.
It's like Harold or some shit.
Yeah,
some
Harrison. Yeah, something like Harrison Welles. Something like
that. Anyways, so we get Welles 2 from Earth 2, and his daughter, who I believe is a love focus of Iris's brother, who I can't remember his name, but then she also becomes a speedster in the show because Barry fucks with the timeline. So now there's like four speedsters in the show because Barry fucked with the timeline so much. Like he done fucked it broken. And then he has to go off into the Speed Force and be a prisoner for a while. And I guess comes back and fights some thinking dude.
Yeah, the thinker. Steal
powers from people. And then Welles becomes dumb because of the thinking dude. But pushing past the Flash, we're going to talk. We're going to get too far into the Flash.
A little.
Remember the King Gorilla? Yeah.
Yeah, those Grodd. Scenes? Gorilla Grodd.
God, those were dumb.
Dumb shit.
Anyway, a CGI gorilla. That was one of his enemies. Apparently the CGI looks better, though, in the fourth season.
Mm.
But moving on, we're going to gloss a little bit over The Boys, especially because you haven't finished it. But we are planning on doing a Boys episode, so we're going to get all the comics together. We're going to read the comics, watch the entirety of the show again, because I've seen it twice at this point. And we're going to do a whole episode on just The Boys. I don't know the actual company that published The Boys. I don't think it was Dark Horse. Hopefully our producer can pull that up quickly. I don't think it was Dark Horse. I believe it was a independent label.
Oh.
Are they called labels in the comic book world?
Publisher?
Publisher. Yeah, we'll go with publisher.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't Marvel or DC. And I don't think it was Dark Horse.
Mm.
So I think it was definitely independent. But we're going to gather up all the...
It was originally published by Wildstorm. Probably a subsidiary of DC Comics before moving to Dynamite Entertainment.
Wow, that's confusing.
Yep.
So even just the publishing companies are confusing, let alone the comic universes.
Wow. Like,
you know how many Earths there are in the DC universe?
Three.
More than three.
By a few.
Four.
I mean, there's at least four. Well, you're not wrong. I mean, look at Marvel, for example. Our current Earth in Marvel is Earth 616. So there's at least 616 Earths in the Marvel Universe. And we're currently running on Earth 616. That's our Earth is 616. So that begs the question, like in Flash and Marvel, is our Earth the original? Or are we just seeing stories of an alternate Earth?
See, now you're about to go down a really deep philosophical rabbit hole
about comic books. So if anybody listening wants to shoot us an email or hit us up on Twitter or Instagram or something, we do finally have the Instagrams. We haven't put anything up yet, but they do exist. So you can get at us, slide into our DMs on Instagram. I'm
going to
keep using it sexually. Slide into our DMs.
Slide on up in there.
On Instagram and Twitter, we're at comicbookfng and comicbookfng@gmail.com. So if you want to email us or anything like that and give us your answer, what was the question again?
That's a good question.
Are we the original Earth?
Yes.
These universes.
Or are we just watching, you know, stories?
Alternate Earths.
Alternate Earths.
Earthi. Octopi. Earthipi. Multiple Earths. Earthipi. So yeah, we're going to do a Boys episode. And in closing, we're going to talk a little bit about the Marvel TV shows.
It's gold. Freaking TV well, gold.
The Marvel Netflix shows. Because really, they've had a few TV shows. They've had the Inhumans, which is now on Disney Plus. Mm-hmm. I didn't watch any of the Inhumans, but they do show up in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which if you haven't seen it, there are currently 7 seasons of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Really?
It's Phil Coulson from Avengers. And Iron Man 2.
So is it before he died then?
Yes. No, it was after he died.
What? Wait, what?
Yeah. So Tahiti's a wonderful place. I'm just going to leave it at that because I'm going to make you watch the show.
Say that again?
Tahiti is a wonderful place.
Fuck.
It's a fantastic show. I love it. All the characters are great. It's just a great show. It does suffer from the TV cheesiness that like the CW shows suffer from, but I think the stories are a lot more tight-knit than than the CW shows. They're not as cheesy. I mean, they get kind of cheesy. It's comic books. They get kind of cheesy. But they're the character development is a lot better. I think the acting is a lot better. It's still cheesy because it's TV, but it is Marvel. It's canon. And actually what they do is they have a lot of the seasons go along with the movies. Like, they don't show up in the movies. Coulson's the only character that actually shows up in the movies. But like when Winter Soldier happens and S.H.I.E.L.D. gets taken down, that is a huge thing in the show. Like, S.H.I.E.L.D. going down and Hydra coming up is a really big story arc in like season two of the show. That's like the arc of season two and season three, part of season three. That show gets fucking nuts. And it's not about a lot of superpowered beings. They do come into it with superpowered beings. I think they call them enhanced, and they put them on a list called the Index. I love these names. But they don't focus on the superpowered and enhanced people. But they are a decent part of the show.
Hmm.
But I'd watch it just for the characters. They're all fantastic. There are superpowered beings on the team, like the Inhumans. They originated on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and then became their own show. They also had The Runaways is a show, which I haven't seen, but I know that's Marvel. Those were the TV shows for Marvel. And then there was the Netflix shows, which I think we should talk a little bit about. Specifically, Daredevil and The Punisher. Arguably the two best out of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Jessica Jones is great. My top three would have to be Daredevil, Punisher, and Jessica Jones.
You didn't like Luke Cage?
Luke Cage, I don't know. I couldn't really get into it. I enjoyed it. I haven't seen season two. I enjoyed the first season. But I couldn't really get into it as much as I could Daredevil. But I've always been a big fan of Daredevil.
So oh, yeah.
Maybe that was... Charlie Cox is just fantastic. He was born to play that role.
Oh, he did such a good job. And he does a blind man really well. Like, it's so genuine looking.
I think the only one of those shows that was really miscast was Iron Fist.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I like the actor, but I don't think he was the right choice for Iron Fist.
Honestly, the whole thing, like, I feel like that was supposed to be a kung fu show, and there's hardly any kung fu in it.
In the first season. Apparently the second season fixes that a lot.
Really?
I haven't seen the second season, but I guess it's a lot better than the first season.
Yeah, I haven't seen the second season either. Like,
part of the problem was he was a late addition to the show. I think they had somebody else cast as Danny Rand, and he dropped out or something like that right before they were going to start shooting. So the guy that plays Danny Rand now was a late addition to the show, and he wasn't able to get a lot of the choreography in and a lot of the training in before he did the first season. Mm. So it looked very...
Rehearsed,
yeah. It looked very fake. But like the chick in the first season, she was awesome. She did a fantastic job, but she was there for all the training and choreography and everything like that. But the season two, apparently they had a lot more time to really work on it, and they noticed a lot of the complaints that people had about the first season and about the fights looking really fake and all that. So they fixed a lot of that with the second season. Plus they also brought in Luke Cage in the second season. He was a big part of the second season as well.
Really?
I didn't know that. Danny Rand and Luke Cage, they are, in the comics, they're the heroes for hire. So they work together as a team in the comics. I don't think Jessica Jones is a part of that.
Hmm.
I know they're all, you know, the Defenders, but which we're not going to talk about. Defenders.
I didn't even try with that.
It was like the Diet Coke of Avengers movies.
Mm-hmm.
And, so they're the heroes for hire, which does make sense because Danny Rand is a billionaire. So I don't know why they were heroes for hire. It doesn't make any sense. Maybe. Jessica Jones was perfectly cast. I love that chick. She did an amazing job. The fights were fantastic, especially when she fights Luke Cage in the first season.
Oh, man.
That fight was so good.
Oh,
so well done. The way they're throwing each other through the walls. And
right.
Oh. And it's so I do want to talk a little bit about Daredevil because I think that was the peak of the Netflix shows.
Just let me say, you were saying choreography earlier, talking about the Iron Fist choreography. The choreography in Daredevil is fucking superb.
On fucking point.
Oh my God.
That is one of the main points I want to make about Daredevil is their fights were so well done.
And it's the blend of cinematography and choreography, like the way they film the fight.
And that's a very good point because Daredevil did in each season, they do what's called a long shot. So they do a shot without any cuts. And I believe in the second season, people were able to find the cuts. First season, they're each of them is basically called a hallway fight. And because most of the time he's fighting people in a hallway.
Right.
And the first season, the specific one I'm talking about, he's fighting in a hallway and he goes to, I believe there were a bunch of Russians. And he ties ropes around his fists and goes into the fight. And it was all one shot. And he's going through the hallway fighting people. He goes into a room. The camera doesn't go into the room to follow him. But you see people get thrown out of the room and like the door gets knocked off the hinges
yeah,
and shit.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
And but one of the biggest additions to that that I think is a really good thing to include in the show, especially a show about kung fu fighting, is he gets just obliterated during the fight, exhaustion-wise. He gets fucking exhausted. And that's something that people don't really understand about fighting is it's really, really tiring. Like just... Like, boxers have talked about it, how a fight lasts 2 minutes, right? You are fucking beat after 2 minutes
mm-hmm.
because of just fighting. And they show that really well in Daredevil. And it happens again in the third season. He's in a prison. I've shown you the prison scene.
Yeah.
And it's like a 10-minute long shot. There's no cuts. People have tried to find him, and they couldn't find the cuts in the long shot. I'm going to tell you this because it's utterly fantastic. The cinematography is beautiful. But the fights are the best. And it was a 10-minute long shot where they're just following. He gets trapped in a prison after he was trying to see one of his clients, learning something about the evil going on in that season. And he gets trapped in the prison with people that have been hired to kill him. And he has to fight his way out of the prison. And it's brilliant how they do it. And by the end of it, he is so exhausted he passes out in a taxi. And it's a small detail, but I'm really happy that they included that. There's also a prison fight scene in The Punisher that
one's famous. I feel like
everybody actually no, that was in season two of Daredevil.
Oh,
that wasn't in The Punisher.
Oh, Punisher yeah, that's is in right. Jail
and he gets it's right after he talks to the Kingpin, and he gets accosted by a hallway full of prisoners, and he slaughters every single one of them.
And that's another one where they show his exhaustion.
Yeah, he's exhausted by the end of the fight. But also remember, Daredevil is martial arts trained. He's trained to knock people out, break bones, stuff like that. Frank Castle, the Punisher, is trained to kill people. So it's less exhaustion for him because this may be completely off base, but he's basically straight going for a kill. He's not going to knock somebody out. He's not going to knock them down. He is going to kill you. If the Punisher is after you, you are fucked. Because Frank Castle is basically a superhero in how he kills people because he's so goddamn good at it. And John Bernthal as the Punisher was perfectly cast.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody sees him as Shane from Walking Dead. I see him as the Punisher. He can't be anybody else at this point. And I think if they do another Punisher movie, it has to be with John Bernthal. Or they've actually talked about having Daredevil and the Punisher in the Marvel movies now. And they want to bring back Charlie Cox and John Bernthal as those characters.
Dude, please.
So we're going to get that crossover of the Netflix shows and the movies. That was one of the biggest gripes I had about the Netflix TV shows, the Netflix shows, and the MCU movies is there was no crossover. Because all these characters exist.
And they reference the stuff, too.
Like, what was Daredevil doing during the attack on New York? You know?
Chilling.
I mean, he could have helped. There's probably not a lot he could have done. But he could have helped.
Luke Cage could have helped a lot.
There, so.
Luke Cage could have helped.
Yeah, Luke Cage could have. He marries Jessica Jones, by the way, in the comics. They're married. I don't know if it's going to happen in the show since they canceled everything, but.
True.
They kind of bang a little bit in the show.
They don't kind of bang. They bang.
They bang hard.
They superhero bang.
Yeah.
I can only imagine how that.
And one last point I want to make on Daredevil before I stop talking so much about it. Is Vincent D'Onofrio as the Kingpin.
Ooh.
Is probably, I would say, my favorite performance of his out of everything I've seen him in. The Kingpin is the Kingpin. His performance was Emmy worthy, I think. I definitely think he should have got an Emmy for that. Because he played it so perfectly. Just this tortured, genius, evil Kingpin. And he just so perfectly embodied that character. And made it his.
Yep.
Plus, when he beats dudes to death, like you can just see the raw fucking power and anger.
The rage.
That was another really good thing they did. Daredevil is highly trained. He is a highly, highly trained fighter. And Kingpin is just a big ball of angry. And when they fight, you can see that. There's no skill in Kingpin's fighting. Like, he's hitting people with car doors. He's hitting people with tables and shit. Because he doesn't know how to fight. He just has raw strength and will beat you to death with his massive fists. That's Kingpin. And Daredevil, you know, is quick and extremely skilled and methodical. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like in The Defenders, when Daredevil or Danny Rand picks a fight with Daredevil, had it been accurate, Daredevil would have wiped the fucking floor with him. Even though Danny Rand's got the superpowers and the iron fist, Daredevil wipes the floor with him every time. He is insanely talented. And it just, you don't fuck with Daredevil. He will fuck you up and your entire day, week. He'll fuck your week up.
He's the devil of Hell's Kitchen, man. Like,
I love that name. And a lot of people's complaints were about the suit. I enjoyed Daredevil's suit. I thought it looked cool.
That was freaking sleek.
But since you haven't seen season 3, you haven't seen Bullseye.
Hmm?
Bullseye. Do you mind if I spoil season 3?
Is it a big spoiler?
Kinda.
Fine.
So Bullseye dons the Daredevil suit and starts killing people as Daredevil.
Oh my god.
So Daredevil goes back to his black sash and black clothes and ropes on his hands because he can't wear the suit anymore because he's been tarnished. And actually, okay. So last thing I'm going to say about Daredevil. They included a scene in the show. It's a really, really powerful scene. But, I've actually read police reports about this actually happening. And it happened at that nightclub that got shot up in, where was that, Florida?
Yeah, I think it was Florida.
But there's a scene where Bullseye came in and he basically slaughters a building full of people. And in the police station, there's a couple of our characters at the police station talking to some of the cops, and they've got a table full of everybody's effects, everybody that died at the scene. And their phones start ringing. Like, everybody's phones start going off. They'd ring and they'd stop ringing, and then they'd start ringing again, and then they'd stop. And they do just a really, you know, quick but powerful scene of showing all these phones going off of their families trying to get a hold of them because they heard about the slaughter on the news. And there's a story from a couple of the cops from that nightclub shooting that they said one of the most haunting things was hearing all the phones going off in the nightclub of the people that were still in there that were dead on the floor.
God.
And I think it was the right choice to include a scene like that in that show. Like, it really grounded it. Because, I mean, it's a superhero show.
Right.
But that really grounded it, showing that, like, these people actually died. And they were slaughtered in this office building. And, you know, these are the repercussions of that happening. These are the families trying to get a hold of them. And it was a really powerful scene.
Sounds like it. Yeah, man.
Yeah. Talk. So what did you think of the first two seasons of Daredevil?
I thought they were absolutely spectacular. I don't know why I haven't watched the third season. Maybe it's just I don't want it to be over.
Don't want it to end?
I want it to be there.
It's a good send-off.
Yeah?
They definitely open it up for a season 4 because it wasn't canceled to that point. But it's still a good ending.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I need to watch it. But it's so good, man. Like, when they bring in Elektra.
Yeah. Season 2?
Yeah.
Season 2 was actually my least favorite.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't like The Hand. I thought it was kind of a dumb season.
They were trying to tie it all in with Danny Rand and
they had to bring in The Hand because The Hand was the main enemy in The Defenders.
Yeah.
Sigourney Weaver. Man. The only part of The Defenders I liked. But they also brought in the Punisher in season 2. So that's where we got the introduction of the Punisher. And he was fantastic in season 2.
That conflict they have between the two of them, it looks so real.
Oh yeah. That was a good fight, too, because, like I said, Frank is trained to fuck your day up. He's trained to kill you.
Right.
But Daredevil is so good, like, he was able to counter it. And it was just a really good fight. And the Punisher deciding not to kill, you know, Daredevil was pretty great.
That dialogue, too. Was it... Who was tied to the pole?
That was Daredevil.
Yeah.
Punisher chained him to, like, a chimney.
Yeah, that's right. So he had him cold, man. Could have shot him right there.
Yep. He did shoot him in the head, but his helmet was bulletproof.
Fuck, that's right.
Yeah.
Man.
So I was going to talk about the Punisher, but since you haven't seen it at all, I really don't want to spoil that show for you. All
right.
Because it's the first two seasons, the last two seasons are fantastic, and they're everything we wanted in a Punisher show.
In that case, yeah, let's save it, and then let's have like a deep dive on a future episode.
Yeah, yeah, we'll talk about the Punisher more. So we're gonna close it out there. Our producer is angrily looking at us that we need to cut off. So we're definitely gonna do a Punisher episode. Hopefully we will get part two out for Infinity Gauntlet. We finished writing, but we just need to record it where it's not cursed and it's not going to crash on us. So once Jeremy's in town, we're going to try to get that part two episode out, and we're going to have a Hellboy episode. So a Dark Horse episode. Mm-hmm. We may talk about a little more than Hellboy.
Knowing us, we probably will.
We do have a Judge Dredd episode on the horizon. One of our buddies is a huge fan of Judge Dredd, so we'll get him on to talk about it as well. I'm not familiar at all with Judge Dredd. I've just seen the movies. I haven't read any of the comics. So that's going to be a fun episode. And we're going to do the Boys episode, and apparently we're doing a deep dive on the Punisher.
Hell yeah.
So that's coming on the horizon. And our sister podcast, Monster Macaroni, the paranormal, true crime, horror, creepypasta podcast, are hopefully, if we can get it done and Jeremy's in town, we are going to do a cryptid episode. So we're going to be talking about some of our favorite cryptozoological, is that a word?
Sounds right.
Cryptozoological creatures. Yeah, we'll say that's a
cryptozoological word.
Cryptozoological? Like the Baba Yaga and tulpas and Sasquatches, skinwalkers. Skinwalkers, I think, are going to take a full episode, because I definitely want to talk about the Skinwalker Ranch.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a full episode, maybe two.
Hell yeah.
So we're going to do a cryptid episode, and then we will get to murders at some point, but we want to do some paranormal first. After cryptids, we're going to be hopefully doing a Philadelphia experiment episode. We've got a couple of books on that. I think that's going to be an interesting episode. And then maybe a couple alien episodes. Let's throw those in there.
Heck yeah.
And then our
Coup d'etat is an overthrowing of a government.
You're right. That's the wrong word. Our piece de resistance.
There you go.
Our magnus opus. Is that a thing?
Yes.
That is the, like,
titular
episode? The pinnacle of your life's work.
Well, let's not say life's work, but season one's magnus opus. We're going to try to do a three-part series on Satanism, where we actually have some Satanists in to talk with us. But that's far in the future. We still have to acquire all of our books and everything. But this is not that podcast, so we're not going to talk about that right now. So in closing, you can get at us at ComicFNG. That's our Twitter handle, ComicFNG.com. And let me get that Instagram name for you. I believe it is just at ComicFNG. Yes, so Instagram name is just at ComicFNG. So slide into our DMs there. And that concludes that of plugging our social medias, unless you guys want to plug something.
Yeah, you can follow me at on Instagram at J Cursely. That's J C U R S E L Y.
Sweet.
And you can always find me at WillFalcon23. It's generally my handle pretty much everywhere. So.
And I'm not going to tell you people my personal one.
Yeah.
What? People sending me DMs, sliding into my DMs.
Ooh.
I don't pay attention to any of my personal stuff. So we will have a Facebook up as well. Jeremy's on that, making the Facebook. I don't know anything about Facebook. So I'm going to leave that to him.
We'll learn you.
Yeah, you'll learn me?
We'll learn you good.
All right, so we're going to close it out there. Definitely hit us up. We are on Spotify as well now, so tell your friends. Send us as many ratings as you can. So, you know, get all your friends to rate us 5 stars on iTunes and Spotify. I don't think there's a rating system on Spotify. I don't think there is.
Not even a thumbs up.
There's like a favorite.
You can follow it.
You can favorite us.
But I don't think you can. I don't think there's like a reviews section. iTunes has reviews. But we're on pretty much anything. Thank you to Anchor for sponsoring us.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yep. And yeah, so we're on Spotify. iTunes, give us a thumbs up and follow and subscribe, all that stuff YouTube stars say. Smash that subscribe button.
Smash that subscribe button. Like and share this video.
Do we have a catchphrase for Comic FNG?
Not yet.
Keep reading. y'all. Keep reading, y'all. Y'all keep reading.
Huh? Y'all keep reading now.
Oh, there we go. Y'all keep reading.
Y'all keep reading.
All right, we'll close it out there.